AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. When's the last time, I want to ask you this question, when's the last time you read Exodus chapter 20, the passage that gives us the Ten Commandments? Here's what the Ten Commandments have to say. If we could find the Ten Commandments, wow. You talk about the skeptics having to scurry for their holes because the Ten Commandments is such a statement. You know, that's what God put in the Ark of the Covenant. Some people say the Ark of the Covenant is hidden somewhere. It had the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Many have said the first four commandments are all vertical, our relationship with God, that's one tablet, and the second tablet all horizontal, that's our relationship to other people and how we are to treat other people. But in the Ark of the Covenant, you had Aaron's rod that budded, you had a jar of manna, and you had the two tablets of stone. Well, this is what the tablets of stone say. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Remember, that's what we said was the rich young ruler's problem. He said he kept all the commandments, but he missed the first one, and his God was gold. And obviously, commandment number 10, you shall not covet. He was greedy for gain. He was an idolater. You shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Remember this, God is a jealous God. He's not jealous of you, he is jealous for you. So you are not to worship or serve these idols because God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children. The iniquity is the twistedness on the children, on the third and fourth generations. That doesn't mean you pay for your father's sins before God, but it means you're going to deal with the sins of your father. They're going to affect you, and they're going to be issues in your own life. To the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Commandment number three. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Very important to know that. We don't use God's name as a byword. God's name is holy, 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 and we need to treat the Lord and his precious name, the name Yahweh, the personal name of God, especially with the highest reverence. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number four. Then he says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, which was Saturday and is Saturday, is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Why? For in 6 days, 24-hour days, The Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, so those are that's the first tablet, the vertical responsibilities we have before the Lord. Then he gets into commandment number 5, and we go horizontal. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Those are the 10 commandments. Now, I want to focus in on 2. I want to focus in on commandment number 8, you shall not steal, and commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, we look at that and say, okay, in the broad scheme of things, that's kind of specific based on in court, you're not to lie in court and bear false witness. But it also, in the broader text, means you shall not lie at all. We know from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, there are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Number 1 on the list is pride, haughty eyes, and number 2 is a lying tongue, and number 6 is a false witness who utters lies, and then one who spreads strife among brothers is number 7. And isn't that interesting? In the 7 things that the Lord hates, he mentions lying twice. God hates lying. Why? Because lying is so against his nature. He is truth, and a lie. It's impossible for God to lie, the Bible says. And so when we lie, we are acting like the devil, who is the father of lies. Now, Revelation 21 and 22, they're the 2 chapters in the Bible that speak of the eternal state. It's after everything, after the final judgment. Revelation 20 is the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. And then Revelation 21 speaks of the eternal state. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And he says this in Revelation 21 and 22. He talks about the wonders of those in heaven. And then he says this in verse 8, but for the cowardly, and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then he talks about heaven, and he says that nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into heaven, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not going to come into the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. And he mentions lying again. And then in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, he talks about those who are not in heaven. And he said, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. God hates lying. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You don't steal. You don't bear false witness. Don't lie in court. Don't lie ever. And what do we have today in America? We read the stories. I was reading yesterday all the stories that are coming out about the fraud. Our country is just rife with fraud. Now, fraud combines breaking the 8th commandment, you shall not steal, and breaking the 9th commandment, you shall not bear false witness. When a person robs you, if you get robbed on the street, that person that's robbing you is breaking the 8th commandment. He's stealing from you, but he's not necessarily breaking the 9th commandment. He's not lying about things. He's not bearing false witness. He just stuck a gun in your back and said, give me your wallet. But a fraudster is breaking the eighth commandment and the ninth commandment. They're lying to deceive you so that they can steal from you. Now, we had Dr. Oz and J.D. Vance. They just had a press conference, and they were talking about all the fraud they found in California with their hospice centers. And they've shut down 800 hospice centers because of fraud. And Dr. Oz said, you know, if you had a legitimate business and the government shut you down, you would immediately call and say, hey, what's the deal? And he said, of the 800 hospice centers in California that they shut down, he said, we've received 20 calls, and we think of the 20 that they're not legit. But 780 didn't even call. Why? Because they knew they were not legit. And we had an interesting clip somebody put together. Gavin Newsom, in January of 2026, he is saying, it's all theater. We have this fraud under control. And so here's a mashup between January 2026, Gavin Newsom, and Dr. Oz explaining just this week.
Dr. Oz, you're living in Oz. Hospice, we've been after that for years and years before Oz was even on the scene. This is purely political. This is not about fraud and abuse. This is about the polarization, politicalization, weaponization, not just a grievance, but weaponization across the board of agencies and weaponization, the likes of which we've never seen from an administration.
At least half of the hospices in the entire area around Los Angeles are fraudulent. And today we announce 800 of those hospices have been suspended. That's getting us, you know, close to where we think we should be. 800 hospices that last year charged the federal taxpayer $1.4 billion.
So Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, said this is just political theater. We're on top of this. Dr. Oz is Johnny come lately. He doesn't know what he's doing, that kind of attitude. And then Dr. Oz says, hey, we found 800 of these hospice centers that are committing fraud. They're lying and taking all this money, up to $1.4 billion under the nose of Gavin Newsom and his administration, just like we saw in Minnesota under the nose of Governor Tim Walz. It's hard not to think that those people are in on it, because either they're extremely just so lax in their administration, or they don't care. And they, you know, hey, I think with Tim Walz, you could make the case that he benefits from the Somali fraud, because he gets this voting block, 80,000 Somalis vote for him. And so he can retain power through that. So, yeah, I'll just turn a blind eye when you steal us blind. Perhaps you heard about the BLM executive director. She was convicted of fraud. This is what the report says about her.
A BLM executive indicted for embezzling millions in donations and spending it on vacation, shopping, houses. Senior national correspondent Kevin Cork has the details. Kevin.
Crazy stuff, my friend. Authorities say over a five-year period, 52-year-old Tashella Sharia Moore Dickerson, just like the song, the executive director of Black Lives Matter OKC, diverted more than $3 million in return bail checks right into her very own bank accounts. And tonight, thanks to a 25-count federal indictment, she faces up to 450 years behind bars and millions in potential fines. Dickerson charged with 20 counts of wire fraud and 5 counts of money laundering following a scheme in which she's accused of routing money intended for the group's programs into accounts that she controlled between June of 2020 and October of 2025. The indictment said she used the money for her own personal benefit, including travel to Jamaica and the Dominican Republic, tens of thousands of dollars in retail shopping, more than 50 grand in food deliveries, also a vehicle. And
that was the executive director of Black Lives Matter. The scamming, the fraud, the lying, the stealing, it's just sickening. And what we have forgotten is that shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? We're going to have to give an account one day. It was John MacArthur who told Gavin Newsom, I am concerned for your soul because you're going to have to give an account one day. And all the lying and all the stealing and all the corruption, God sees. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back with Pastor Joseph Parker. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments and how we live in a society that breaks them. Just every single minute, we're breaking the Ten Commandments. Hey, listen, the Ten Commandments, they're hard for me, they're hard for you, they're hard for everybody. God didn't give the Ten Commandments so that we would be able to keep them. He showed us His law to reveal to us that we can't keep them. And the very best of us fails and falls. And so the commandments have become, and the law, it says in Galatians chapter 3, has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. The only one who can live out the Ten Commandments and keep the Ten Commandments is the Lord. And Romans 8 says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, as we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Well, as is the practice at American Family Radio, American Family Association, June is the Ten Commandments Project. And here to tell us more about it is AFR's own Pastor Joseph Parker. Joseph, welcome to the program. Hello. Have I lost feed? Randy, are you there? All right. Well, we're going to get that connected.
And, okay. Can you hear me now?
Pastor Jeff? I can hear you, Joseph.
Okay.
How are you, brother?
Pretty good. Sorry about that. Had a connection issue here, but good to be with you today.
Well, very good to be with you, and thanks for coming on. Okay, the Ten Commandments Project. Tell our listeners what that's all about.
Yes. Well, again, thank you for the chance to share about it. It is a youth discipleship project that we've been doing for right about, I think, right about 10 years now here at the American Family Association, American Family Radio. And it's been a fun project, but at the same time, a very serious project. And as you've been talking about the Ten Commandments, so sadly, sometimes you have people that will think, well, they're irrelevant, they're Old Testament, and say all sorts of things they shouldn't say. God's word is relevant, just as relevant today as it ever was, including the Ten Commandments. And of course, I think we could easily refer to the Ten Commandments as kind of a basic curriculum. God gives us a basic truth and wisdom that blesses all humanity in all cultures and all under all circumstances. And so this project has been a youth project in which there are three basic parts of it that we've had. One is, if a child simply memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them by memory to their dad or mom can give us a call here at American Family Radio, and we'll mail them, they should give us the size and the mailing address, we'll mail to them a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back. And of course, the big issue is not so much the shirt. It's a beautiful shirt, a wonderful witnessing tool, but getting the word planted in children is a critical part of that. Another part of the project is, a church or a ministry is encouraged to do a four-week community outreach where you adopt the community around where your church is located and teach the Ten Commandments. Well, you share the gospel and you teach the Ten Commandments to youth and children in your community. And that's been an encouraging part of the project. The key part that you just alluded to is the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, which we do during the month of June each year. And of course, this year, the commandment number two, you shall not make for yourself any graven images. And we are encouraging young people ages 7 to 17 to write a speech on that commandment. And of course, Pastor Jeff, you know, one of the aspects is they're welcome to write it, and most do. But on the other hand, they're welcome to get their parents to help, a friend to help, if they want to give us a call, and we'll help them. We don't mind, because even if they don't necessarily write it, just the fact that they read it and share it and record it, it's filtering through their mind and their heart, even if they didn't manage to write it themselves. So it's still productive insofar as how it impacts them. We suggest that it be 3 to 5 minutes, although we take pretty much any length. And we invite them to use your cell phone or any other means to record it. And we ask you to send it to faq@afa.net or to my email, jparker@afa.net, with 10 Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2026 on the subject line. And so last year we ended up with 57 speeches, and each year every speech is beautiful and powerful. And mm-hmm. so we're grateful to have the young people to participate that have participated, and we look forward to many participating this year as well.
Yeah. Okay, that's for kids 7 to 17. Mm-hmm. And Joseph, this is something that the Lord put on your heart about 10 years ago, is that right?
About that, and, you know, just to, Pastor Jeff, I think of this, that James Meredith, I don't know, some people would know that name, but mm-hmm. he's a great servant of the Lord, but he's considered kind of a civil rights icon. But more than that, he loved Jesus. He loves Jesus, that is. But he years ago, challenged the churches in Mississippi to adopt an area around their church and teach all the kids the Ten Commandments. And that was kind of a seed in my heart to start, that the Lord used to start this project through AFA. And the reality is, for many churches, a church can sometimes sit in a community, and I'm speaking to myself as well. I've had the privilege of being a pastor for most of the last 50 years, and the fact is, sometimes a church can have a very small effect on the immediate community it's in, but this is a way whereby they can touch the young people and the children in their community in a wonderful way. And so it can be done in such a way that it's similar to the way vacation Bible schools are often mm-hmm. done. But specifically, both sharing the gospel, and I want to be clear about that. We know the Ten Commandments share the wisdom and the counsel of God, but people get saved through receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. That's right. a very clear point to be made. So, yeah. But that's been an encouraging part of the project as well, though. So,
Joseph, what have you seen over the years through the people getting involved in American Family Association through that Ten Commandments project?
Well, I think one that comes to my mind is that a few years back, CBN actually did CBN did a special on a church in the Mississippi Delta that had taken the project and run with it and then affected a huge number of children. And they were involved in really touching their community in a wonderful way by sharing the gospel and teaching the kids the Ten Commandments. And lots of them had their T-shirts on and were reciting them as a large group. That's one of the goals that we want to pursue, because, you know, as you were speaking of, Pastor Jeff, the reality is people need to understand both the relevance and the wisdom of utilizing the Ten Commandments, because you think of some of the biggest issues in the news, as you were touching on mm-hmm. so powerfully, are a result of people violating the wisdom behind it, the problems behind pornography and relationships in the area of sexuality, murder. They're all directly addressed through the Ten Commandments. So for people to say they're irrelevant mm-hmm. is to be tragically naive and just negligent and really looking at the wisdom behind the Ten Commandments. And I think the church is wise to use the Ten Commandments as a preaching and teaching curriculum on an ongoing basis, because these are areas where people struggle with every day.
Well, I remember, Joseph, I was at the American Family Association donor gathering a few years ago in Sylacauga, Alabama, mm-hmm. and it was a really nice place that we went to. And I was challenged about the Ten Commandments. I ended up doing a sermon series on the Ten Commandments because of that encounter I had with one of the guys there. And I think a lot of people, they know about the Ten Commandments. They could probably name a good number of them. But to name the Ten Commandments in order, lots of people don't know how to do that. And there is no time like when you're young to mm-hmm. memorize scripture, because your mind is sharp. It gets harder as you get older. But to hit the children when their minds are just like flypaper, I mean, things just stick. I think that's a great, great opportunity. And so the testimonies that you get just from the individuals that do it, those have to be a great blessing.
Well, they really are. And I think of this, Pastor Jeff, that this is so true, that the church very much needs to put young people to work so much more than we often do. And that, like, for example, with down through the years as we've done it, we encourage the young people to ask their pastor for the opportunity to share their speech either on Sunday morning or during Sunday school or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, to be honest with you, a minimal number actually do that. But for the ones that do it, it ends up being a wonderful experience because, for example, when a child stands in a church and they speak to the congregation, number one, they have the attention of all the children. But actually, they have the attention of all the adults as well, because they want to hear, what does this young person have to say? Well, there is no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses any available vessel to speak truth. And the reality is, God will use available vessels to speak His truth. And so, yes, kids can have a wonderful impact used by the Holy Spirit to touch young people and adults. Mm-hmm. And to your point, sadly, my experience is the average adult does not know them by heart.
Right.
And in fact, if a person, and if they haven't specifically made it their business to memorize them, they don't know them. But mm-hmm. more than not only having them memorized, we need to really know what they mean and yes. why it's important to keep them and walk in their wisdom as well.
Amen to that. Well, as I mentioned, Joseph, the Bible makes it clear the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we can find salvation. And as Ray Comfort does with the Way of the Master, he uses the Ten Commandments, he uses the law of God to show people how desperately they need the Savior. Because, Pastor, as you know, people have this delusion that they can be good enough for heaven. And boy, if I just try harder, I can make it. And the reality is that all of us, there's none righteous, not even one, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And mm-hmm. where do we get that? We get that from the Ten Commandments.
Right. And you know, I think of this too, Pastor Jeff. You know, the Ten Commandments summarize the wisdom of all of the Word of God in a wonderful way. And I think there was great wisdom and grace on the part of the leadership in the states of Texas and Louisiana when they passed legislation to see to it that they'd be placed once again mm-hmm. yes. in the classrooms of the schools. Because again, without question, it's the Ten Commandments are foundational to many other things far beyond the Word of God, foundational to our law, the laws of our land today. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that, yes, they're relevant. And the fact is, yes, children are affected by them when they hear them. And I recall, Pastor Jeff, some years ago when I had the opportunity to do a presentation at a local small college about relationships and sexuality. And the fact is, it's sad that sometimes when you share biblical truth, young people will act as if they've never heard things you say before. Things mm-hmm. like, sex is for married people, according right. to the Word of God. And I recall during the question and answer session, one young man, he was angry at what I had shared. He didn't ask a question, but his response was, how dare you come here and tell us how to live? Mm. Well, truth will convict you.
Yes.
Truth will point you to your need for God. And so, yes, young people of all ages need to hear the truth that can point them to Jesus Christ and set them free. So, getting kids involved in these in a project like this one is good for them from the standpoint of you're planting seeds for eternity in the mm-hmm. hearts of our children. And as parents, There's nothing our children need more than the Word of God. And this is one. This is one project that, to be very clear, Pastor Jeff, it's been a fun project, yet a very serious project too, because I think of this, that it's sad to hear of so many news stories that share where young people are affected in many ways because they don't have the truths such as the Ten Commandments in their hearts. Like a sad story some years back of a young man went into a store in a large city not too far from here, took off, the attendant stepped out and shot him, and he died. He was only 17. Now, the fact is the attendant got arrested, but if a parent or a Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, or a pastor had taught that young man the Ten Commandments, the seed of God's word, may very well have encouraged him, I don't need to take this. It's not mine.
Right.
And so we should never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word, because God's word is pregnant with the Holy Spirit who changes us. So it's not just an academic activity. It's a life-changing activity because there's supernatural power in the Word of God, and the Word is Jesus.
Amen.
And he's able to help us in so many ways.
Amen. Joseph, just reiterate what we're asking people to do in this Ten Commandments project.
Okay, specifically for the speech challenge, we're encouraging young people to, if they'll write a speech on the Second Commandment this year, based on the Second Commandment, you shall not make for yourself any graven images. Again, we're encouraging it to be 3 to 5 minutes or so, but any length is welcome. And record it with your cell phone or any other means. Send it to us again to faq@afa.net or to my email, jparker@afa.net. Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2026 in the subject line. Get it to us and send it during the time frame of June 1st to June 30th. That's the time in which we're asking you to send it to us. And we'll be glad to involve them in the project.
All right. And then just for the people that have memorized the Ten Commandments, they just send that in, or how do they let you know that?
Well, if they'll memorize them and recite them to dad or mom can call us and give us their size and their mailing address, and we'll mail them a Ten Commandments t-shirt.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joseph. I appreciate you, brother. And
thank
I'm
you.
So glad God put this in your heart, because this is a great thing for families to get involved and for kids to memorize and hopefully memorize with their parents. Get God's word down in their heart. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call and let's talk.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And I want to mention again, we've been talking about this for a while, but mention it again in case you missed it. We have Activate Summit 2026 coming up in July, July 16th through the 18th in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi. And the theme is Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. This is a conference for the whole family. Activate Kids programs for ages 6 through 12. 5 and under come free. And this is just a chance to get away, bring the whole family, and hear good solid biblical teaching that will help you in your marriage and family. Some of the talking points are going to be, what do we do? How do we build a family in Babylon, so to speak? How can a husband and wife have a family that really honors God with all the pressures around us? How do we handle artificial intelligence? How do we handle the onslaught of social media and the internet and all the things, all the temptations that are available? How can a dad lead his wife and love his wife and lead his family and love his family? All those things we're going to be talking about, and you're going to be encouraged, and we're going to have a great time together. So let me encourage you to go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit, and find out more, and you can register there. And Debbie and I are really looking forward to being a part of that. Activate Summit 2026, July 16th through the 18th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you. And so we have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I love you. Love you.
Hey,
guys.
Love you too, brother.
Ten Commandments you were talking about today. I want to know, where does pride fall in those Ten Commandments? With the downfall of and the devil being prideful and us being prideful as a man, me being prideful. Where does that fall in the Ten Commandments?
Well, it's not in there that way, but it's right there in the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Pride is setting yourself up as God. That's the very first temptation. That's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, because he said, I will be like the Most High God. That's what he tempted Eve with in the garden. If you eat of this fruit, you surely not die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and so you can be your own God. And the Lord tells us right off the bat, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me, and it especially is not going to be you. And so I think that it's baked into the very first commandment, Marco.
I got a follow-up question with that, if you could hear me still. That being said, mm-hmm. all worship, all glory goes to God. But right. How do I, as a man, retain value that I'm his child and be valuable in the world, being salt, be light?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's a tremendous gratitude and encouragement and blessing and confidence to know that I'm a child of the King. And so, I was studying this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, where it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. He tells us in chapter 4 to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And so because we've been saved by the Lord and we have become his beloved child, that makes us want to live our lives to his glory. So it says, flee immorality, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. To know, Chris Tomlin has a song, Marco, that says, I'm loved by the King and it makes my heart want to sing. So that should give us such tremendous confidence and assurance and just a sense of awe and gratitude and reverence that God would save someone like me, as the song Amazing Grace, who saved a wretch like me. Wow. And so I just live my life as a thank you, Lord. I want to live for your glory because I belong to you, and everything in life is from you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. And so I just want to glorify my Father who sent his Son to die for me, to redeem me, and to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life forever.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that, because I was just thinking of all these kids that the enemy lies to them and tell them that they're not valuable, and there's right. all this suicide. So I'm just trying to balance.
Yes.
God gets all the glory. Everything is about him, but we are valuable. We are not rags. We're not, we are paid at a price by his blood.
Yes.
Remember
this, Marco, and I learned this from Adrian Rogers years ago. God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because God loves us. There's nothing in us that God would say, oh, yeah, you do this so well, so I'm going to die for you. No, he did that. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have, the song says, in my hands no price I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. We have nothing to commend ourselves to God. It's just he chose to love us, and he chose to die on the cross for our sins, and he offers to us a personal relationship with him that is just so amazing. And a man would have to be a fool with a capital F-O-O-L to reject that offer. And it says in the last book of the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. That's the invitation that God gives to every man, woman, boy, or girl. You can come to me through repentance and faith, and you can become my child. So I appreciate the call, Marco. God bless you, brother. We have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir, Pastor Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I was calling in about the observation of the Ten Commandments and an opportunity that's upcoming tomorrow, actually. It's a little bit odd in this time. It's curious that when you fly an American flag of the red, white, and blue, that it really kind of exposes which party you're supporting at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of unfortunate. But in a similar vein, there was a presidential proclamation recently issued calling on, it's on whitehouse.gov, and it's calling on all Americans to celebrate their faith and freedom throughout this year, during this month, and especially on Shabbat to celebrate our 250th year.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point that out as a good opportunity to observe the commandments during this time.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. I appreciate that, Steve. And appreciate you listening to the program and calling in with that. And we do have a great opportunity. You know, the Lord has saved us. We are salt and light. We don't have to pray, God, help me to be salt, help me to be light. We are those things as his children, but we need to be released into the world. Just like he said, men don't light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. They put it on the lampstand, and it lights up the whole house. And so we need to let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We speak the truth in love. When we do that, we're applying the salt where it needs to be, because salt flavors, salt preserves, salt makes a difference in whatever it touches. And God forbid, here's where salt gets in trouble, is when you get contaminated with other minerals. That's how the salt loses its saltiness, because it loses its purity. And the Lord said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And we need to separate ourselves in terms of the way we live and live our lives dedicated to God. As the Bible says in Ephesians 5, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Aaron on the line from Mississippi. Aaron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, brother.
My question is about the not having other gods before us. I noticed it's plural in the Bible. Now, does that mean there are other gods? Like, I know you hear about Zeus and things like that. Or is mm-hmm. that just, was that the way he was wording that to, just in case we considered something to be a god? You see
well,
what I'm asking?
Yeah. So it's gods with a little g, and they had just come out of Egypt, and Egypt had all these false gods. And really, when you look at the 10 plagues that were put upon Egypt, they were hitting their false gods. The gods that, because Egypt worshiped, they were polytheists, they worshiped a pantheon of gods. And so God was hitting them to show. And the last one, this is really interesting. So the last plague is the death angel. Well, it hits Pharaoh and his family. And Pharaoh considered himself a god. And so Yahweh God, you know, the big question from Pharaoh, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? And God showed the Egyptians by decimating them through those 10 plagues that the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And all these other things that we call God, they're not gods at all. When Elijah had the showdown on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings chapter 18, they called on Baal from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Baal never answered because Baal's a false god. He's a demonic spirit. He's not real in terms of being a capital G-O-D. And so when the Lord is saying, you shall have no other gods before me, he's talking about all the false gods that were out there in their world that are out in our world today. And Islam, Allah is a false god. The God of the Mormons is a false god. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses is a false god. It masquerades as God, but there is only one God, and that one God is named Yahweh, and that one God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity. God, the real God, exists in Trinity. He's not three gods. He's one God in three persons, which our minds can't comprehend that. But that is who God is. He says, I am who I am. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. What do we believe about Jesus? Well, we have to believe that he is God in the flesh. He is the great I am. He is the God who created it all. As it says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God, the one God, speaks in the plural because God is one God in three persons. Is that helpful for you?
It is. That made a lot of sense. You really broke it down, and that answered the whole question and then some.
Well, good. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Lewis on the line from Kentucky. Lewis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to comment reading a book by John Eldridge called Waking the Dead. And have been a little bit discouraged by it, just only because the author seems to dovetail away from maybe orthodox thinking. And he says in the book that the human heart is good, inherently good, I think. So all that to say, which is different from what we hear from the Bible in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart mm-hmm. of man is desperately wicked, you know. So
yes.
All that to say, I just wanted to maybe see if you would comment on the importance of the media, you know, the media that we're exposed to, and the things, obviously, we have to keep God's word as foremost in order to be able to pick out these messages that are like you've talked about in the past, you know, the battle is not between right and wrong. A lot of times it's the battle between right and almost right.
Yes.
And so wanted to just kind of see what you thought about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lewis. Yeah, anybody that tells you that man is basically good, that's not what the Bible teaches. Man is a sinner. Man is wicked. Man wants to do what man wants to do. He's dominated by the flesh, and the flesh always wants to challenge God for who is in control. So we need to be sensitive, have our senses trained to discern good and evil as we spend time in the Word of God. And then we need to be like Bereans, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were are so. So we don't question everything. We receive things, but then we check it out. We trust and verify, as Ronald Reagan said so many years ago. Well, I didn't get to everybody, but thanks for listening to the program. Shine and share for Jesus, and He'll use you as His witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.